wisdom come from? Maybe this whole thing is a wisdom. Maybe it's an age. Maybe it's a time in which the church begins to be more righteous. If the church is doing that, then there's no reason for it to be on fire. But I think that the sixth seal being literal is the most important part of the sixth seal. But this really was an earthquake. Now, what's happening there is just a problem we need to They took their jobs. They took their jobs for what they had accomplished. They took their jobs for what they can do. Unfortunately, they listened to other people who have called themselves believers. And when believers tell unbelievers that there's no reason to fear God, well, that's a problem. And that's why they're here. Kings of the earth, how did they become kings? They took it. They took it by force. They made people fear them. They made people fear the consequence of me not being king. Magnates, generals, this is talking about military. This is true human power in this case. This is every symbol of human power hiding in these days. Because literally everything that worked for them on the planet, the planet has now been taken apart. So fear no longer works. Nothing works anymore. Fear doesn't work. Guilt doesn't work. Fighting doesn't work. My riches mean nothing. And when the mountains began to move, they had nowhere else to turn. So of course they were afraid. Of course they were afraid. Everything they trusted. Because if you don't do what he says, this is what's going to happen to you when he comes. And from then on, human beings have been afraid of God. And nothing else works now. Everything that the enemy used to try to prove that he was right. Because fear works on this planet, doesn't it? Fear gets stuff done on this planet. Does guilt get stuff done on this planet? Sure, guilt gets stuff done on this planet. By the way, guilt gets done, we get a lot of stuff done in the church, too. Fear, coercion, guilt. All weighed, all used by the Church of Jesus. And then I'll think of it on the other side. There's these followers of the Church of the Lamb. I want you to listen to your statement, your statement. See how much sense it makes. For the great day of their wrath has come. Hide us from the one on the throne and the one and the Lamb. Let me read. wept for people who continue to be afraid of God. If we still read those passages, like we have something to fear when it happens. We've been trying to tell people to do that. No, I'm going to do it. You're ready as well. Believe what he says. I'm telling you right now, Jesus said, right now, in the book of John, right now, if you believe, you have the condemnation of everlasting life. The end of time and the second coming does not change that. It doesn't change that. Somehow we believe that living in the end time, something happens. That living in the end time, all of a sudden, the lamb becomes something to fear. Yes, he changes clothes. He puts on second coming clothes. Yes, he has a sword. But guess what? Remember, a sword isn't a sword that he kills with, or a sword that you can deal with. It's a sword of the word of his mouth. And out of the word of his mouth already came the words, for I so loved you that I gave you my only son. And if you would simply believe, you already passed from condemnation into eternal life. The second coming means that it's here. So I question, who is able to stand? The one who has what? The one who stands. Not the one who is perfect of character, not the one who is sinlessly perfect, not one of the 144,000, not a special group of people that made it through the end time. Anybody who has what? Faith. We've been here, we've been sitting here, we've been stuck here. And the very first thing Jesus wants to tell us about, or show us, is what happens to those who decide not to believe. And maybe we've been here long enough, or maybe we've been here not long enough. Maybe we're still here because there's something else we need to learn about living in the end time. And I really believe there is something else we need to learn about living in the end time. And it has to do with these people that are calling for the lost to fall. See, Old Testament, New Testament, we look at the Old Testament passages in all of this. And they call it the great and terrible day of the Lord. By the way, it is a great day. Is it a terrible day? Yes, it is. I mean, it's just such a terrible for the lost. I'm going to have to look at it just a little different way. I think it's terrible for us. And here's why. Habakkuk said, look at the proud, the spirit is not right in them, but the righteous will live by one. That is what Paul quotes in Romans when he says, I'm not sure of God. For it is the righteousness, the power of God and salvation to everyone who has faith. Does that mean people living in the end time? Yes, everyone who has faith. The end time doesn't change the formula. The end time doesn't change the transaction. The end time doesn't change the cross and atonement and justification. It doesn't change sanctification. It doesn't change any of that. If you're in Christ, if he comes right now, literally right now, if we hear the trumpet, we all should run into the parking lot and praise God. We've got nothing to fear. He quotes a prophet who actually calls it a great and terrible day. I'm not ashamed of that. For it is righteous, God is with me. Great for praise, it is written. The one who is righteous will live what? This is what he's quoting. He normal days of life, it will start like every other day. People will be what? Eating, drinking, marrying. They'll also be working. Because Jesus goes on to say that they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding in a meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep therefore awake, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. If you think that the world and the Church of the Feast is just going to be offered as a huge debauchery celebration, and that's what brings the second coming about, you better be sorry of his name. What he means by being married is that there are actually people planning for the future. They're celebrating, they're eating and drinking, they're planning for the future on that day. Is there a future on that day? Well, now. But to this earth? No. It's the end, right? And people will be going to work. Now, what has gotten lost in this whole one will be taken, the other will be taken, this whole argument about the rapture, whether it's secret, and all of this. And again, I believe that the dragon is taking us away from the true meaning of this. And why? Well, just up between verse 13 and 14. Why are we still sitting here? And why do we look at the kings of the earth and the magnates and generals and everything calling out? And we talked a bit about it last week. Is that we see, their unbelief, we see them calling for the rocks to fall upon them as God is taking it out on them. He's finding it in his vengeance. This is the answer to the call of the waters. How long, O Lord? This is it.
Doesn't mean that you're not side by side with him anymore. God leads us side by side.
true